So, Father, I do thank you for today. Lord, I know there's a fellowship lunch being prepared, but God, we know fellowshipping with you is why we're here first. So, Father, help us open our hearts. God, I know you have many kingdom seeds you want to plant today. Father, I'm asking it will fall on good soil of our hearts. God, in this day of information, we hear so much. But God, we want to hear what your spirit is saying and receive it into our spirit and be changed. God, you are doing such a good work, particularly in the Canadian church right now. God, I want all that you have for me today. God, we open our hearts to you. Spirit, pour forth in our lives. Teach us your truth, which sets us free and brings us into life. Thank you, Father. Amen. I'm going to share a few personal things to illustrate my point, too. There is power in the word of the testimony, isn't there? Anyways, that's what the Bible says. So share what God does in you, okay? Because there is power, okay, in sharing our testimony. So when I was 18, okay, I wasn't graduated school yet or anything. I was still in grade 12. And my parents were very strong believers and lived like it. Okay? But then I met Mike, my husband. Now that was a different ballgame. So he was abandoned when he was young. He got into alcohol, drugs, all this types of stuff. And me and my friends are all hanging out, and I meet this guy. And I thought, wow, this is a whole different world. So long story short, we got married as teenagers because God was giving us a baby, okay? We could say, oh, no. Yeah, they're a gift from God. I'm actually here visiting my gift. She lives in Black Falls. So we decided to get married. We had to move away from family, friends, and everybody in order to get a job because Mike was a rigger, was a driller on the rigs, and he didn't want to do that as a husband and father. So we moved away for work, and I felt like a little girl having a baby because that's what I was, a little girl having a baby. During this time, because of all of the deliverance Mike needed, I'm just being honest, as you can see, this is why Pastor George came into my world. All of the deliverance Mike needed, but during this time, I came into serious physical ailments and pains. We had no money to speak of. We had enough to eat, barely. Housing came with our job. I had to sell things, I even had to sell my motorbike to make ends meet. Then some spiritual dynamics started happening, harassment of the enemy during the night, bad dreams, noises, really having trouble with my daughter. I learned why other later when she was really young, just a few months old. All these things started happening. And I just began to walk through these deep, deep, deep scenarios that I'd never experienced before. And what I call it is crucibles. Really deep crucibles in my life. And Mike had no idea how to be a father, a husband, anything, even a believer at that point. It got interesting. And I want you to hear this. At this point, the enemy started to tempt me. Now, we always think of temptation as alcohol, drugs, run around having an affair or something, okay? No. The enemy was trying to tempt me with despair and hopelessness. He started to tempt me to try to find my own way out of these circumstances. Like, why don't you get up and run? He tried to tempt me to fight back in my own strength against Mike, against everybody, against the job. He tempted me to try and figure it out with my natural mind how to fix it. These are all temptations because they're not God. Okay? So I need you to hear that. Despair and hopelessness. A lot of us are being tempted to enter that right now. That's not God. It's not of God. So needless to say, I was in a little bit of a funk. Because I'd gone to Sunday school, learned God, mom prayed over me, whatever, right? Gloriously, I got filled with the Holy Ghost when I was 8. I am so grateful for that. praise you, Jesus. We underestimate things, like even just the worship. Guys, listen. We got to enter the presence of God. That's freedom. Not just a church. It's lifestyle. Right? This is one of the keys. So I'm in this pit. And I'm like, God must be mad at me. God's judging me. This is payback. All these types of things that start going through your mind. You know, what's going on? God, where are you? And I started to develop an offense with God. Don't tell me you haven't. Okay, because I don't buy it. Okay? I hear so many people, why isn't God doing this? Where's God? And we start to develop an offense with God. I didn't even realize that at the time. God, where are you? I see my friends. My one friend went off and married this rich guy and seemed to be doing so wonderful. And this other friend, you know, and I'm like, God, where are you? Right? And I didn't realize all that was creeping into my heart. I want to read you this one quote. The last and greatest lesson that the soul has to learn is the fact that God and God alone is enough for everything. This is a lesson that all of his dealings with us are meant to teach us. Okay? And this is the crowning discovery of your whole Christian life, that God's enough. That God is enough. Now, there's many things God was doing in me, but I want to mention three. I can't get into them all, but I hope it stirs you up, maybe even a little anger, to investigate it with God. That's what I'm hoping. Okay, it's not just about sermons, is it? It's about walking it. Well, the first thing I think God was doing was he was answering prayer. My mom fasted and prayed for me. She fasted and prayed for Mike. And you could say, well, then why were you guys in such a pit? Because God was answering prayer. The prayer that we would come to know him and live with him. He was answering prayer. The second thing was he was drawing me unto himself. I knew about him. I did not know how to walk with God. But the third thing was he said, I'm going to make you an overcomer. And every pit you find yourself in, Maureen, you're going to overcome. I don't care what we're going through. It's to create an overcomer because that's what God said. And what God says is what is true and with what I'm going to hang on to. And there are deep, deep crucibles. We may experience death. We may experience all kinds of things. But he's a good God. And his kingdom is not of this natural world. And he is bringing some form of good, but we have to hang on to him and learn what it means to live in the presence of God. Let's read John 16:33. I said, just open your heart to this because I want to share from my heart. Becoming an overcomer. John 16:33 says, it's Jesus talking, I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. Now come on, guys, it's not talking about the tribulation here. It's talking about tribulation, which means you're going to have affliction, trouble, burdens in this world. But take heart, I have overcome this world. Okay, so 1 John 5:4. I got a new Bible for travel so it would fit in my purse, and it's kind of a little tough to flip around in, sorry. 1 John 5:4. For everyone who has been born of God. It's not talking about heroes here. It's not talking about St. Paul. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. What is it? Our faith in Christ and what he accomplished overcomes the world. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So this isn't just faith that, yeah, I believe there's a God out there somewhere. And sure, I believe that Jesus was his son. And yeah, I guess historic, documents do indicate that Jesus came and did die on a cross somewhere. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having faith in the fact that I am part of what God, who God is and his family, and I believe that Jesus died for me, and I believe what he accomplished on the cross, and I believe that when I'm facing this, he is training me to overcome it because he overcome it. And we have mixed this up. We think overcoming means I should be able to pray about this circumstance and it should be gone. How's that working for you? How's that working for you? No. He says you're going to walk through this valley, but I will be with you, and you're going to come to the other side. And listen, his kingdom is not of this world. So when I think the circumstances have to be gone to be overcome, I don't understand what the kingdom of God really is. And he says it's righteousness, peace, joy. It's being in the Holy Ghost. In any circumstance we face. Let God strip away some of our low-level understanding of a kingdom. A kingdom is about a king. A kingdom isn't about you trying to maneuver somehow, manipulate God somehow to get rid of these circumstances. God, I can't be happy till you change this. God says, no, no, I'm teaching you in my kingdom. You can be happy in this. It's a whole different understanding. But we just run to God with requests. We chuck these requests. God, do this. God, do that. God, do this. And we leave his presence. God, you know what I'm in. How do we overcome? How do I overcome? You see the mess I'm in. You're not changing it. How do I walk this out with you? He was training me to overcome. He wanted me to learn the power of prayer. He wanted me to learn there's authority in Christ. And there's times in these tribulations, trials, and afflictions, God doesn't intervene, but the enemy tries to interfere. There are times I need to know my authority in Christ. He wanted to teach me how to overcome sin. He wanted to teach me divine health. Oh, I want to talk about divine health. Oh, I want to talk about that. I don't have time today. Oh, I love that topic. But if you want to hear that teaching, talk to you. I'm going to do a teaching seminar on it. But he wanted me to learn divine health. And I can't tell you how weak I was during this time, but I learned divine strength. God is so good. I was a wreck, a mess. I wanted to run and run fast. God prevented that. I had to learn what it meant to have his wisdom and leadership in my life when I was clueless in my own self. One of the most important lessons I had to learn in overcoming was how to take thoughts captive. everything that was coming to me, everything I was thinking about and dwelling on, I had to learn that I was coming into agreement with the wrong side and giving it opportunity in my life. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. Starting at verse 7. But we have this treasure. We have the kingdom in us, the king in us and his kingdom. We have a treasure, but we are jars of clay. It's not about us. Okay, that's a year's sermon in itself. But anyway, it's not about us. But he says it's to show that the surpassing power belongs to God. That's why he put the treasure in jars of clay. So we would understand this isn't about us. It's about God. Now listen. This is how I hear most Christians read this next portion. Oh, are we ever afflicted? Wow. I don't think I'm crushed yet. You know, it's just so perplexing. This world is so terrible. We're persecuted. We're forsaken and struck down, but I'm still alive. Okay, now let's read how it was written and intended. Okay? The surpassing power belongs to God. We may be afflicted because of this world and because of the junk that goes on and the enemy's active. But guess what? We are not in despair. See why despair is a temptation? Because it's not God. It's not natural. We may get afflicted, but God's kingdom is not of this world. So when I'm afflicted, I do not have to go into despair because I'm part of a kingdom that is outside of my affliction. That's how this was intended. Read about Paul and you'll know why. Persecuted. But not forsaken. We are never alone. Struck down, but not destroyed. Here's the crux. Always carrying in the body the death of Christ. Die to ourselves in this world. Why? So that the life of Jesus may be manifested in us. He's wanting to bring his life to you. We said at the beginning, who wants abundant life? You're probably or have been or will be walking through some form of affliction. Some form of crucible. But this is the good news. Okay? It's because he desires to give us the kingdom. He desires to give us the kingdom. And see, when we look at that and we say, well, that's the kingdom in heaven. Oh, Jesus, one day in the sweet by and by, we will finally be in your kingdom. The kingdom is also now, but it isn't completed yet. It will be completed. The kingdom's now. He's desiring to give you the kingdom. And I've been going, talking to people all over. And I'm hearing a common thread of I'm dry. I'm in a bad place. I'm crying out to God. And God just puts so strong in my spirit. He goes, I know. Because I am bringing forth my kingdom in my people. He's bringing us forth through affliction, through crucibles, through hard circumstances. He's bringing us through and he's giving us the kingdom. No, not everybody will go there. Some of us fall into despair, maybe even momentarily. Some of us feel like we've been struck down and forsaken. But he says it's because you're dying The old man is passing away because the new is coming. And I'm positioning my people. I'm helping them understand what it says in Ephesians, that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And this is a picture God gave me a while ago. We're all alone on the battlefield, okay? But then something happens to somebody, that something happens in their family or something. Or the enemy comes along and says, yeah, but you did this or you did that. And then what we do is we say, just a minute. I've got to leave my position for a minute. And I've got to go back over here and I got to get things worked out. I got to do this first. But see, God's teaching us, even in affliction, even in hardship, even when we're struggling with sin, He wants us to keep our position in Christ. I don't know, we just don't get this. We don't get it. We come down all the time, out of our position. God took me to stories like David in the wilderness. David wasn't in the wilderness, and he wasn't an overcomer in the wilderness till a bear and a lion came along. God taught him he was an overcomer. What about Moses? Ran away. God taught him he's a deliverer in him. He's an overcomer. What about Jesus? He comes forth out of the wilderness, and it says in Luke 4, in the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to go through a couple points in a little more detail about overcoming. So let's go to 1 John 3:8. Whoever makes the practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. And the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. What's the context? The power of sin. The context of destroying the works of the devil here is the power of sin. Let's go to Romans 6. Romans 6, just starting at verse 5. For if we've been united with him in death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection life. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with Christ. We know that Christ has been raised from the dead and will never die again. Death no longer has dominion. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Sin has no dominion over you anymore if you will remain in Christ. But if you want to keep coming out of your position, oh, you're going to have a hard time. You are going to struggle. And this is something that the religious spirit constantly feeds God's people, is you better get your act together. You better do better. Oh, there you go again. Oh, get out of your position. Oh, you can't stand before God, and you can't do this, and you can't tell others about Christ. Look what you do. That's coming out of my position. I count it as maybe a 5-second prayer to clear that up. God, I screwed up. Forgive me. Amen. 1 John 1:9. If I confess my sins, faithful and just, forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So what about the struggle of sin then, Maureen? We're not letting God help us. We're trying to do it and measure up. So for me, my struggle during this crucible became evident that it was unforgiveness. Everything I was going through was piling up, and I didn't realize it. All the offense with God, my husband, you know, not knowing what's wrong with my daughter, resenting having to move, resenting not having any, all this stuff was piling up, and I became sicker and sicker, and I didn't realize there was a connection. I'm not saying every sickness is from unforgiveness, but mine was. Okay? Not always the case. So when God revealed to me that this was a sin that I was harboring and keeping in my heart, I remember I had to go to God, and I said, God, I am so hurt, I don't even know where to start. And God says, you start with obedience. Ask me to help you. Let go and forgive. So first I repented. God, help me. And it was hard. I bawled, cried, wrote names down, the whole thing, you know. Because some people you really don't like. You know. And so anyway, went through that process. I said, God, only you can help me let go. And then I prayed, now heal me. Obedience comes before healing, and we've got it backwards. God, if you'd heal me, I could forgive. There's a lot of I's in that statement. It's about God. If you're struggling with any form of sin, there's times where God will let you be tempted. He'll let you walk through things because he's making it evident to you you can't do it. It's in Christ you have the ability to destroy the works of the devil, not in your own strength. Are we going to get it? Can we get it? Ask God to help you get it? Please? Because what happened was this unforgiveness gave opportunity to the enemy, according to Ephesians 4:27. Don't give him any opportunities. And I was at the door wide open. Come on in. And didn't even realize I was doing it. So after I prayed those prayers, I obeyed God and I released forgiveness, and he started to heal me. I rose up and I said, enemy, I resist you. And I resisted the open door to a spirit of infirmity and haven't had it since. I was maybe, 1920 at the time. Okay. And there's a story in Judges where this man rose up in rebellion against David. And they said, we got to do something about this guy. So the guy knew they were coming after him. So the whole army went after this guy, and he ran into another city to hide. So Joab and the other army, they started banging against the city, banging against the wall, the door. And they were going to take the city out. Well, this woman comes along. She goes, Joab, what are you doing, man? Come on, we're your people. What are you doing? You're wrecking our city, man. He goes, well, this guy's in there. So she says, give me a minute. Runs back in, gets his head, and chucks it over the wall. Gruesome story, but I'm hoping it leaves an imprint in your mind. Okay. They knew we had to chop off the authority of this sin to save the city. And that's the same in your life. You've got to understand the power of Christ to destroy whatever is trying to give the enemy opportunity to affect the whole. And chop off that head and chuck it out. You can't do it in your own strength. I don't even know why we try. We have to fall on the mercy and grace of what Christ accomplished in order to live. I'll try to keep moving along. There's just so much that God does. So thankfully, both Kyle and Carrie, I love it when this works, you know, already shared some of my stuff. So it's good I can bounce off of that. So I love that. But the second thing was Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 1. It's another thing he taught me in overcoming. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so I was getting really weary, worn out, tired, putting 70 hours in plus four kids and husband in ministry. And I remember one time in a prayer meeting, I was praying and I had my head down and, you know, we're taught so wrong about burdens. Anyway, we can't get into all that. So anyways, I was just really weary and I didn't realize weariness was opening me up again and giving the enemy opportunity. Why would you say that, Maureen? Because weariness is a sign that we're not walking close enough to the Lord. I'm sorry if I stepped on toes with that, but, and I'm not talking about a physical weary, but wow, I worked all day. I mean, I'm tired. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a spiritual, emotional weariness because God is life. He's fire. He's passion. So weariness, because I was doing so much in my own strength, started to open me up to a spirit of heaviness, which comes and starts to cloud us. And so I was praying and I was weeping about something in a prayer meeting. We weren't even talking about this. We weren't even praying about this, but somebody was praying. I don't know what was going on. I can't even remember what he was praying. I was praying about my problem. And God comes along and he says, Maureen, stand up. So I went back like this, and I felt it leave me, this heavy, oppressive thing. And suddenly, new life, new focus, new prayer started coming out of me, and I learned a principle that I was trying to function in life as a Christian, as a believer, as a minister, with so much of my own strength, that I had allowed a weariness to come into my spirit. And we know that Paul says, do not be weary in well doing. Because Paul knew it can happen. Okay? And God taught me this important principle to pay attention. And the way you're going to overcome, Maureen, is by learning to nurture my presence all the time and pray without ceasing. And live in the presence and communion with God 24/7. Now, when I first heard that, I thought, yeah, right. But that's one way he was teaching me to overcome, was to know how to nurture his presence. So I had somebody say to me the other day, yeah, you're right, Maureen. I need to get to church more and, you know, get into the worship more and learn how to carry it through the week. Okay. No. No. I said, wow, if you think that's what I'm saying, wow, are we on the different pages, honey? Okay, listen, you are a temple of the Holy Ghost. This is why he says you are never forsaken. You are a temple of the Holy Ghost. All the time there's communion with the Father. All the time I'm drawing my strength. I had somebody say to me, Maureen, I believe the Bible, but I do not believe the promise is true that says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't believe it. That's what she said to me. I said, well, then we got to back up, cutie, because, it's true. Number one, it's in the context of whatever circumstance I am in. Doesn't matter what circumstance I am in. Paul says, I learned the secret. Ooh, a secret. He said, I've learned the secret. And he goes on to say, that I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ, who gives me strength. Listen, your strength was never about how much sleep you got. Your strength is never about the fact there's people around you can't stand. This is low-level natural strength. Our strength is in Christ. So, for instance, you wake up during the night, you feel like you're being harassed, you can't sleep, I don't know, the kids are crying, whatever's going on. Terrible night, maybe 2-3 hours sleep tops, it feels like, okay? You're laying in bed and you're like, I need more sleep. Father, I need more sleep. God, you're going to have to arrange my day. I need some sleep. Okay? God, you know how much sleep I have. But you made this day. So I'm going to get up in you. Because you know what I got to do today. I remember time after time I'd get up. The act of faith activated it because I was in Christ. I got up. I remember looking at my watch. Oh, it's 3:00. Wow. Time flies when you're having fun. Never thought about tiredness. Never thought about sleep. Because there's a principle. It's not about more sleep. It's not about what I'm doing today. It's about the fact, God, you knew how much sleep I had. You didn't give me any more than that. You know how much sleep I had. You know what I need to do today. You know my circumstances of my day. You are my strength, not my sleep. This is so much higher than that. And we have failed to hang on to God in the midst of these things. God, I am positioned in you. My sin is forgiven. I don't have to come down. I don't have to come out of position because of my circumstance. You are righteousness, peace, and joy. Father, I'm falling on your grace. This is nothing about being a strong person. It's about being a weak, humble one. I can't do this, God. You raise me up in your life. You know what Isaiah 61 is all about? It's a picture in verse 3 of, are you going to wear life in Christ or are you going to wear death? He gave us beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. What am I going to wear, life or death? That's what the picture is. Because they wore the other for death. Or I wear the other for life and rejoicing and moving on. So I have to throw it off and put on praise. Okay, and Kyle read Isaiah 40. And it says there, my strength only comes from God. I've got to wait on God. That's where it is. That doesn't mean I got to lay down on the floor and sleep and hope for the best when I get up. Okay. It's saying, there will be times where you know I've done too much on my own and need God. And I can go to him and I will soar as an eagle. This is about abiding, living, dwelling, and remaining in Christ all the time and developing it. And that's why he never promised a perfect life. Because he's teaching you to overcome in him. Just think of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. It's a picture where we're to be positioned in our spirit all the time. Okay, I want to touch on the third one too, Revelation 12. Just because these are things that I've seen so prevalent in the body of Christ. I can't tell you how much I weep over these things. Sin, heaviness, and this one. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame. By the blood of the Lamb. the word of the testimony, love not their lives even unto death. Okay, Maureen, what's the context of this verse, which most of us never read in context? The accuser of the brethren. And the enemy comes and he constantly wants to accuse you and bring you into condemnation. Why? Because you're an overcomer. Do you think he wants to be overcome? No. Okay. No. Listen, Luke 10, Jesus sent the 70 out two by two, not as a mass. Two by two, he sent them out. He gave them specific instructions, okay? Two of which were heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near. That's it. Go out and do what I said, two by two, not as a group. And tell them this and pray for the sick. So they come running back and they're just like, Jesus, this is so fun. Even the demons are subject to our name. He goes, yeah, I saw Satan fall. I gave you authority over snakes and scorpions. But that's not the most important part, guys. You're part of my kingdom. That's what's important. You are part of my kingdom. The enemy's afraid of kingdom believers. Because we're all about the king who defeated him. That's why. Okay? So they overcame. And so what happens is when we are not basking in truth, I'm not just talking about reading the Bible, although that's an important part of it. I'm talking about fellowship with God, learning the manifest presence of God can be all the time in our lives. God is with me. I can pray. I can approach the throne of God. I can repent of sin. I can get help to overcome in this situation when we understand this is a consistent flow, okay? The enemy will come to us and bring things up, like past guilt, past sin, past struggles. And if we do not know truth, and if we are not walking with God, we will believe his accusations and we will not overcome. The way I overcome condemnation, accusation, remember, Romans tells us, there's no condemnation, but what's the rest of the sentence? In Christ. If you're walking around condemned and accused, you're not in Christ. I'm just saying, that's what the Bible says. I'm just repeating it a different way. This is what it says. And I had to come out of guilt, which brings confusion. You can't hear God clearly. You're listening to all this junk. Maureen, you did this. You did that. You had unforgiveness. You. And then who am I to be a daughter of the king? Who am I to help someone else? Who am I to lay hands on the sick? That's the accuser of the brethren. Because that's not what God says about you in here. And if we don't know truth, we don't know God, we listen. And God has set up a spiritual principle that man would have dominion on earth. And the way we have dominion is I can open and give opportunity to the enemy, or I can open and give opportunity to God. It's a spiritual principle. Who am I going to agree with? I'm going to agree with God. That has nothing to do with pride. That has nothing to do with self. It has to do with truth. But the enemy wants to tell you, oh, you think you're so good. No, I don't actually. Actually, no, I don't. But God is, and I'm in Christ, buddy. So shut up. He doesn't want us treading on snakes and scorpions. Come on. Romans 8 says, look, I predestined you and I foreknew you. Continuing on the sentence, to transform you into the image of my son. God's transforming you. He's creating an overcomer. I just want to use this quote here. By faith, we've entered into an eternal relationship with Christ. As a result, we are dead to sin and alive to God, and we now sit with Christ in the heavenlies. In Christ, we are important. In Christ, we're qualified. Satan can do absolutely nothing to alter your position in Christ or your worth to God. But he can render you virtually inoperative if he can deceive you into listening and believing his insidious lies that are accusing us of being of little value to God or people. Wow, we do a lot of listening, eh? A lot of entertaining. We know that verse goes on, the word of the testimony. Could you talk about God a little more? I've been sharing testimonies from my one little Bible study that fasts and prays for people who have cancer. Did we pick this? Oh, no, we did not pick this. But God sends us people with cancer. We fast and pray. We've seen miracles. I'm sharing little stories from a little handful of women who meet on a phone. And it's bringing like a faith and a power of God to other people in the body to lay hands on the sick. There's power in the word of the testimony that the enemy can't win. Loving not their lives unto death, because we're dying to ourselves. Listen, God's been training you and preparing you, just like David. No, maybe you're not at Goliath yet, but he's preparing and training you in the wilderness. But what do you see in the wilderness? Do you just see desert, dry, dusty, what do they call it, tumbleweeds? What do you see in it? But Isaiah 43, common verse, but I want you to hear it a little differently today. Verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Don't you see it? Can't you see what I'm doing? Can't you see me in the midst of affliction that I am training and equipping you and I'm bringing you into life? Can't you see what I'm doing? See it. Embrace it. Agree with it. Luke 24, Jesus has been crucified on the cross and he's laid in a tomb. And what happens? Luke 24 picks it up where the women are walking to the tomb with their perfumes and their ointments to put on a dead body. But he's not there. Listen, the most important event of eternity, just happened. He rose from the dead. The most important event in eternity. And no one knew it in the natural. Oh, the spiritual was rocking. Hello. Nobody in the natural knew. They came to put ointment on a dead body. They go tell the apostles, and they think it's fables of women. The angel comes and says, oh, well, remember? He told you. Oh, don't you remember? Remember he said this was going to happen? Guys, he says we're overcomers. Why are we so surprised he's creating us into overcoming? He said it. But we look at our situation and we go straight to despair and hopelessness. Instead of, oh God, help. It's interesting because it even says in the Bible that we rejoice in suffering. Ooh, that's weird. Because we know that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And what does character produce? Hope. So there's, you mean hope comes through suffering? Well, that's what he said. because it's in Christ. Guys, find Him. Find Him no matter what's going on. Find Him. He's in the middle of it. Have eyes to perceive. And if you don't, say, God, I must be blind. What are you producing in me through Christ? Know it, see it, love it, agree with it when you don't feel like it. But come into agreement with God and His Word. Not the suffering. There are times where God removes the circumstances. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes it is the enemy. We have to rebuke. But He's creating overcomers, and we've got to learn the lesson. Because in the days we live, God wants people who are positioned and never leave that position. Never leave it. We stay there. We stay there with Christ. No sin, no accusation, nothing is going to take me out of my place in Christ. And that's the determination we need to have when we hang on to Him. See, it's the same with divine health. I don't know, God, You know my symptoms. You know how I'm feeling. You know what I'm going through. But I'm not moving my position. I'm not moving my position. I'm in You. I'm in Christ. You're my strength. You're my hope. You're my joy. God, I always feel so good being in a room full of overcomers. Wow, it just feels so good being in a church full of overcomers. How can I say that? Because You have overcome the world and we are Yours. We are Yours. Father, I thank You for this room full of people that You preordained, You foreknew to be transformed into the image of Your dear Son. And You are completing the good work You have started. You have desired. You said, fear not, little flock, for it is My heart to give you the kingdom. You are giving us the kingdom. You are causing us to be kingdom believers. God, You have a heart for the lost that we don't even understand yet. And You love us in a way we don't even get. You are so good. You are so faithful. God, You allow me to walk through these deep, deep times to find life. To find life in Christ that I didn't even know existed. Let us find You. Let us know the treasure is within us. The seed is within us that wants to bear fruit. Let us water that seed. Let us love the seed. Let us nurture the seed of the kingdom, that it will come forth with fruit, with power, with purpose. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. I technically have 2 more minutes according to my watch. And I want to read this and pray this over Carrie, and then I have one I want to for Kyle. And Tammy, if you have, Tammy is one of my prayer team gals. We didn't mean to match today. We did. I said, we want spring! So, Ephesians 3, starting verse 14. For this reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, that He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit, that you may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, already being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now listen, this is the context of the next verse. That's why I read those first. Now to him, Carrie, who's able to do far more in you than you could ever ask or think, because it's according to his power at work in you that he's going to do it. And Father, I felt you show me that you're changing her expectation. You're changing her expectations. God, her expectations have been so low in what her God can do, particularly in her. God, I know the type because I am the type. God, we tend to dig around and find lots of junk. But God, that's not you. God, your power and spirit's already resident in this woman of God. And we thank you. You're going to take her expectations higher. We talked about already today, your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. God, she's had many thoughts. But your ways are higher and your thoughts are higher. So God, we thank you, Lord, you're taking her into new understanding. She's going to walk in and she's going to love. Oh, I see the joy of the Lord coming forth in a new way in her spirit. Father, I thank you, God. You are about a good work. God, the song she sang, the words she read, you are doing in her life. It's so much more than her thoughts. Lord, I thank you. The power of God is at work within this woman. Let there be a new level of surrender and love and life for the life of Christ that has begun a good work, God. Oh, God, I just see you coming up to a whole new level and plateau and standing on it so much bigger than you thought you would ever stand on in Christ. You're looking down. You're no longer underneath, trying to hit and kick, but you're looking down. I thank you, God, for the call that is on this woman of God. I thank you for the worship that came forth today without her even trying, because it's God in her. And I thank you, Father God, you are breaking down the wrong expectations and changing them to your expectations in Christ. I want to read this one for Kyle. 1 Corinthians. Oh, do you have anything on that? 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2. Starting at verse 9. No, let's start verse 7. For we impart a secret hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for his glory, and none of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they wouldn't have crucified our Lord. But it's written that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And these things God has revealed to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God without the Spirit. Lord, I just believe, Lord God, there is some revealing of the things of the Spirit you're bringing to Kyle in a new dynamic. I thank you for his gift, his teaching, his anointing. But God, I just sense such a depth you want to bring forth of your Spirit. And God gave me this word. It's a weird word, so I knew it was God because he made me look it up. I didn't even know what it meant. The Doppler effect. And what the Doppler effect is, a noise like a train coming will always sound different when approaching than when it's leaving. And Lord, I just felt, God, you're going to help Kyle understand the things of the Spirit that are new and fresh, and those that he's to let go of now. God, just a new depth I see it coming up from within. And things of the Spirit becoming even just weighing on your heart. You got to get them out like a fire shut up in your bones. Father, I thank you. This is what you're doing. We're not praying it into existence. This is what you're doing. Father, let it come forth from this man of God. God, I just feel like there's been such pressure to push down. But God, you are positioning him. It's okay, there's been pressure. Just let it go. Throw it off. Shove it off. Let God position you. Let him bring forth the things of the Spirit. He wants to speak to you. He wants stuff to come forth. But he also wants to let things go. Let things go. Let them drop off. Let them be cut off in the Spirit even now, Lord. In Jesus' name, let it come forth like rivers of living water. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And God, I just believe for this church, there has been times they've walked through crucible. But only because you're bringing life. Only because you're a God of life. So, Father, I thank you, God, there is more for each individual called here. There is more for each individual in this house. God, because you are a God of life and life more abundantly, you have things of the Spirit. God, there's many times we don't even know what they are, but if we seek you, we will find them. And Lord, let us as individuals say, this isn't about Kyle feeding us. This isn't about Kyle just praying for me. This isn't about Kyle preach better. This isn't about do this, do this. God, this is about us finding you again and staying in our position in you. Let this be a house that doesn't come in and say, Terry, help me worship, but a house that comes in and just says, here we are together. Many people housing the presence of God. What will God do when we come in together and we are a building built together that will house the presence of God? God, what will you do? What will come forth from this place, from these people? Oh, God. You are so good. You are so good. We expect good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We receive it now because we can't do any of it ourselves. It's a gift from God. We receive it and we take it and we're running with. Amen. Bless the food.
It's amazing how the Lord does line things up. This last song that we plan to sing, it's about desire, it's about prayer, it's about providence, weariness, desert, hunger, trials, faith, cleansing, praise, spiritual warfare, victory in Christ, blessing. Called the Desert Song. It is a song of prayer. I know that the Holy Spirit is downloading a lot. And so if you need to sit and write what he's giving you, do that. If he's wanting you to join in and sing, do that. If he's needing you and leading you to pray with someone, do that, please. And I trust that our leadership will be available for that. Can we just get the lights here?
Within me feels dry. This is my prayer in my hunger and need. My God is a God who provides. And this is my prayer in the fire, in weakness or trial or pain. There is a faith proved of more worth than gold. So refine me, Lord, through the flame. And I will bring praise, I will bring praise. The weapons formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare. The weapons victory, and he is here. This is my prayer in the battle, when triumph is still on its way. I am a conqueror and co-heir with Christ, so firm on his promise I'll stand. So I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapons formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice and I will declare that God is my victory and he is great. All of my life, in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. All of my life, in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing.
Hallelujah.
We have a reason to worship.
I will bring praise.
I will bring praise. I will bring praise. No weapons formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, so I will declare. God is my victory and he is here. This is my prayer in the harvest, when favor and providence flow. I know I'm filled to be emptied again. The seed I've received, I will sow.
Amen. Lord, we just are beyond blessed by this time.
Oh.
And now, Father, as we partake in fellowship together and enjoy that delicious smelling pizza that's growing in the oven, Father God, may you just bless and anoint, lead and guide our conversations in Jesus' name. And I know Maureen has said this in the past, that we would cultivate the soil now for the seeds that were just planted. I know I am notorious for being like, whoop, that was great, and then away we go. Try and carry it on through the week. But Lord, that we would just be ever sensitive to your Holy Spirit and be ever obedient to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah is right. In Jesus' name, amen.